Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavya. Vishnu Pai Paramaham Saparivraj Gacharya Ashutura Shatashi Shimai Rizavayan Grish Lipu Pai Riki Krantara Chana Bhagavatam Ki Gaudra Primanandi. Om Ajnana Tamirandashya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. O namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 19. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam Na bhai vidhur rishayo na pidhevaha Na siddha mukya asara manushya Kuto nu vidyadhara charanadhaya. Hare Krishna. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam Na vai vidhurishayo napi devaha Na siddha mukya asara manushya Kuto nu vidyadhara charanadhaya Dharmam tu saksha bhagava pranitam Na vai vidurishaya napi devaha Na siddha mukya asura manushya Kuto nu vidyadhara charanadhaya. Mother? Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam Na vai vidhurishayo napi devaha Na siddha mukya asura manushya Kuto nu vidyadhara charanadhaya. Dharmam, real religious principles or bona fide laws of religion. Two, but sakshat, directly, Bhagavat, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pranitam, enacted, Na, not. Vai, indeed. Vidhu, they know. Rishaya, the great rishis such as Bhrigu. Na, not. Api, also. Devaha, the demigods. Na, nor. Siddhamukya, the chief leaders of Siddhaloka. Asura, the demons. Manushya, the inhabitants of Burloka, the human beings. Kuta, where? Nu, indeed. Vidyadhara, the lesser demigods known as Vidyadharas. Charana, the residents of the planets where people are by nature great musicians and singers. Adayaha, and so on. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, where religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, vidyadharas and charanas. Purport, when challenged by the Vishnu Dutas to describe the principles of religion, the Yamadutas said, Veda pranihito dharmaha. The religious principles are the principles enacted in the Vedic literature. They did not know, however, that the Vedic literature contains ritualistic ceremonies that are not transcendental, but are meant to keep peace and order among materialistic persons in the material world. Real religious principles are nishtraigunya, above the three modes of material nature or transcendental. The Yamadutas did not know these transcendental religious principles, and therefore, when prevented from arresting Ajamila, they were surprised. Materialistic persons who attach all their faith to the Vedic rituals are described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 42, wherein Krishna says, Veda vada ratta parta nanyar astiti vadina. The supposed followers of the Vedas say that there is nothing beyond the Vedic ceremonies. Indeed, there is a group of men in India who are very fond of the Vedic rituals, not understanding the meaning of these rituals, which are intended to elevate one gradually to the transcendental platform of knowing Krishna. Vedaisha sarvair aham eva vedyaha. Those who do not know this principle, but who simply attach their faith to the Vedic rituals, are called Veda Vada Rataha. Herein it is stated that the real religious principles is that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That principle is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman, Prityagya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. One should give up all other duties and surrender unto the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the real religious principle everyone should follow. Even though one follows Vedic scriptures, one may not know this transcendental principle, for it is not known to everyone. To say nothing of human beings, even the demigods in the upper planetary systems are unaware of it. This transcendental religious principle must be understood from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly or from his special representative, as stated in the next verses. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Where is Dirja Charan? Is he sleeping? No one knows. He usually stays in the room. Let's see what's going on. So yesterday we were discussing one truth, one reality with three aspects. Remember, yesterday we were discussing one truth with three aspects. What was the one truth? Bhagavan, Bhakti, and Bhakta, right? And we were describing that there's one truth, three aspects, one truth. And this truth is transcendental, adokshaja, apakrita, vastu. Therefore, it cannot be understood by persons whose consciousness is trapped by the modes of material nature. Yes, we were describing this. Tribir gunamaya bhavayari bi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nami jananti. Those whose consciousness are bewildered by the modes of nature cannot understand this one truth with three aspects. Mame bhya param avyayam, because it's beyond the modes of material nature. Right, we were describing this yesterday. So we heard about Dharmaraj is described to the Yamadutas, Bhagavan already, and they described about Bhakta. Now we hear about Bhakti, understand? That's the next series of verses. What is Bhakti? And today's verse, Śrīla Viṣvanātha Cakravarti Thakura gives us a context in which this verse is being spoken by Yamaraj. That context is, previously Yamaraj is talking about, for those who have bhakti, not only do they get the mercy of the Supreme Lord's protection, but they also get the protection and mercy of those who are bhaktas, right? Bhaktas also. One of the six characteristics of pure devotional service is Sri Akarshini, right? Sri Krishna, Akarshini. That means bhakti has the power to attract Krishna. But the Sri, in this Sri Krishna, Akarshini, the Sri part refers to Krishna's devotees. So not only does bhakti have the power to attract Krishna, but Sri, it has the power to attract Krishna's devotees. The acharyas have explained in this way. So one who has bhakti, they get the protection of Bhagavan. They also get the protection of bhaktas. They attract the mercy of bhaktas also, those who have devotion. So then the context that Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakur gives us for this today's verse that is spoken is that if they protect devotees, then why Yamadutas are favoring a dharma by protecting Ajramil? See, misunderstanding they're having. They're thinking, why is it, if they protect devotees, why are the Yamadutas protecting or favoring a dharma by protecting Ajramil? Understand this point? In other words, they're supposed to be protecting bhaktas, but they're protecting someone who is not a bhakta. They're protecting, they're giving support to a dharma. That is the point. They're giving support to a dharma. You see their misunderstanding? They did not think that Ajramil was a bhakta. I didn't think he was a bhakta because misunderstanding, so much why did they misunderstand? Why did they misunderstand? Huh? Yeah, it's hard to understand bhakti and bhakta because it's a dokshaja. You cannot so easily ascertain with the material senses. Understand? Atashi Krishna Namadi Nambavet Grahyam Indriya. We hear this verse all the time in context of the holy name. Rupa Goswami presents this verse in the context of the holy name. What is that verse? Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. This is Rupa Goswami speaking about the holy name. The holy name is a Chintamani gem. It can fulfill all desires. It's perfect. It's liberated. And so on. So if it has all these wonderful qualities, how come I'm not experiencing? Why am I not experiencing? You glorified the holy name like this. Why am I not experiencing? So then the next verse Rupa Goswami composes, Atashi Krishna Namadi Nambavet Graham Indriyai. Because it's beyond the material senses. Your dull material senses not be able to understand. Just like you have a dull knife, you try to cut something, then you will cut yourself, right? It's risk of cutting yourself. So if you try to understand bhakti, bhagavan, bhakta with your dull material senses, then we cut ourselves, right, by offenses. Understand? We make mistakes. So the Yamadutas made a mistake. They just heard about the glories of bhaktas and how the bhaktas are attracted to those with bhakti. But they were thinking, why is he favoring a dharma by protecting Ajramil, who is obviously not a bhakta? See their misunderstanding? Misunderstanding. Now they have to be corrected. Understand my point? Everyone's understanding my point? So then, in this verse, today's verse, Yamaraj is saying, what do you fools know about dharma? Understand? Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura is giving this context. What do you fools know about dharma? This dharma tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. First of all, real dharma is given by God. The word tu is actually significant. The word tu means but. But real dharma is given by God. So when the Prabhupada's purport, when the Viṣṇudutas asked the Yamadutas what are religious principles, they spoke about the religious principles under the modes of nature, which are generally given by Krishna's representatives like Manus, Lord Brahma, Shiva, etc. He spoke about these types of religious principles, which are for keeping society peaceful. Because we are materialistic jivas, and in this materialistic world, the jivas are poised to devour each other. Understand? Prahlad Maharaj uses this language, Prahlad uses this language in his prayers in the Shingadev. Conditioned souls, we are poised to devour each other. Understand? That is our mission in life. Understand? Krishna says this also in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Apareyam itas tu anyam pakriti vidime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yare dam daryate jagat. Yare dam daryate Darya Tejagat means what? Means what? Yaridam Darya Tejagat. Krishna says, Aparayas iti tu ayam. There's another pakriti of mine which is superior. Pakriti vidime puran. You should know it to be superior. It is the jiva. And what is this jiva doing in the material world? Yaridam Darya Tejagat. What is he doing in this material world? Huh? Yes, he's trying to exploit this material world. Yaridam Darya Tejagat. Understand? Conditioned soul's mission in life is to devour. Understand? Devour for his sense gratification program. Are you understanding my points, everyone? So in order to keep these conditioned souls who are poised to devour each other, Manu and so many others have given religious principles so that to protect them from themselves, from each other. Understand? That is not transcendental. That is just help people be peaceful in this world, a little bit peaceful and somewhat progressive. But it's not transcendental. Understand? But the real religious principle is transcendental. And that real religious principle is given by God. See, bhakti, bhagavan, bhakta. That's why I said same platform. They're all on the same platform. Therefore, that real dharma, but too, that real dharma is given by God. And it is as transcendental as God. And therefore, being as transcendental as God, navai vidur, they do not know it. Understand? Who does not know? The rishis, the devas, the siddhas. Siddha refers to those with mystic powers who live on siddha loka. And the asuras, the manus, the vidyadharas, the charanas, these are lower level demigods. They do not know. Why do they not know? Why do they not know? Michael, why do they not know? Yeah, why do they not know bhakti? Why do they not know the real religious principle given by God? But they not, why we do it? They do not know it. Why they do not know it? Close. But the rishis are not sense gratifiers. The rishis are not sense gratifiers. The siddhas are not, well, they have mystic powers. They might like to have fun with that. But they're not exactly sense enjoyers. Why? They also do not know. Yes, close. It's not the answer I'm looking for. That's true, though. Yes, that's the answer. Understand? Because the mode of goodness, the real religious principle is transcendental. Therefore, they do not know. So what to speak of you, Yamadutas? That's what Yamaraj is saying. They do not know. You're in the mode of ignorance. They're fixed in the mode of goodness. They cannot understand because it's transcendental. Well, you will know about Dharma. You're in the mode of ignorance. That's what he's saying in this verse. Understand? Prabhupada's pointing out that there are persons who are attached to the Vedic rituals meant for managing society and progressing in terms of material prosperity. They are very attached to those things, and they think that is the essence of the religious principles. Why do they think this is the essence of the religious principles? It's a simple answer. Because they don't hear from acharyas. And in the Isha Upanishad study, we will come to this also. Why they are attached to the flowering language of the Vedas, Vedavadarachas, they are called. Because they don't hear from acharyas. They concoct their own conclusions. And why they come to their own conclusions? Because of how they're fixing the modes of nature. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaish Taish Tair, Hrikta Gyanam Prapadyante, Anya Devataha, Tam Tam Niyamamastaya, Pakrita Niyatasvaya. Kamaish Taish Tair, Hrikta Gyanam means their knowledge is stolen by what? The knowledge of, huh? Kama, less. Lusty. Everyone here is lusty like anything, isn't it? Everyone is lusty like anything. Not just sexual lust, lusting after this material world. So because of the intense lust, and no booty, no intelligence is there. Because they're stolen by lusty desires. And they follow, so therefore being stolen by lusty desires, they worship demigods. They worship persons who can fulfill their desires, isn't it? And Kali Yuga, no one does demigod worship very properly or at all. But they worship persons who can fulfill their lusty desires, isn't it? They worship them. Put on a platform, offer RT. In their own way, they offer money or something. That's a different form of dedication. And tam tam niyamamastaya, they follow rules and regulations according to what? Pakrita niyataswaya, according to how they're influenced by Pakriti. Understand? It's not that it's very deep understanding. Sometimes people think that they're moving without any encumbrance. This is my own personal decision. I have come to this conclusion. No, that's not possible. Pakrita niyatasvaya. If you're in the mode of ignorance, so you like to worship werewolves, vampires, and so on. If you're in the mode of passion, you like to worship forefathers, Krishna mentioned. Your mode of goodness, you will worship demigods and so on. Understand? It's not that you're making a selection. It is not that you're not that free. Oh, I'll just make my own decision. I'll do it. No, you're not that free. Prakriti is influencing you how you're worshiping. So these Vedavadaratta people, they are coming to their own conclusions about the essence of the Vedas. Why? Because they're influenced by Prakriti in a particular way. They're either influenced by goodness, passion, or ignorance. So they come to a goodness, passion, or ignorant conclusion. Understand? Vedavadaratta. They do not understand, Prabhupada says, that the real religious principle is Vedaisya Sarvayaraham Eva Vedyo, to actually know Krishna, to come to the platform of bhakti, which reveals Krishna. They do not know that. How come they do not know that? What is the answer? Michael, what is the answer? How come they do not know that the real religious principles? Huh? Same answer, is same question I'm asking over and over again. Understand? Did you hear the answer? What did you hear? Yes. This is transcendental to the modes. They're under the modes. They cannot know it. They cannot know that. So therefore, they're coming to conclusions according to how they're fixed in the modes of material nature. Their real religious principle, Prabhupada said, is to surrender everything to Krishna. But the only way you can know this is if you hear from God himself or from a special representative, as stated in the next verses. Only one way you can know, by God himself or by a special representative. Right? That's why I said bhakti, Bhagavan, bhakta, all on the same platform. Only they can reveal this reality. No one else can reveal it. No matter how high in the modes of nature you are situated, mode of goodness that is, they cannot reveal it. Only Bhagavan can reveal it, or bhakta can reveal it, because they have bhakti. Understand? This verse is talking about this.
Arjuna, when Krishna tells Arjuna about the intelligence of those who are captured by the flowery words of the Vedas, Bogeshriya Prashaktanam, that they're deluded, they cannot have fixed intelligence. And then he tells Arjuna to transcend the same thing that we're talking about by being fixed in the self and transcend, you know, the modes of nature like that. So how, I guess, so that's an example of Arjuna hearing directly from the personality of Godhead. So then he's hearing how to transcend, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of got the answers. I was asking the question. But then I have a second question. My question is this. Generally, if you're under a certain mode of nature, like the ignorance or passion or goodness, and someone tries to give you a principle from another mode, then there's some resistance from within. It's hard for us to like catch it, you know? So then how is it that those of us, many of us have had lifestyles that are primarily in the mode of ignorance and passion, and then somehow we hear something transcendental. How are we able to catch it?
By good fortune. Understand? There's no other answer. Bhagyavan. You have to be very fortunate. Otherwise, so many people come, even like Sunday feasts or Jamasmi, for example. Jamasmi. So many thousands of people also come. They sit for the class also. How many people you think come out with proper understanding of anything from Jamasmi? Lecture is given. Lecture is told. How many people you think understand anything? Because they have their own understanding. In fact, Advaita Charan, he's on some type of mailing list. And one young man has sent a mail to the group, quoting a few verses from Bhagavad Gita, how I can only be known by bhakti, and bhakti consists of certain acts. So he quoted a couple of verses that were just glorifying bhakti. And then he said, therefore, so then he, this was it, therefore, you should do good karmas. So, because India, this is their whole idea, you should do good karma, satisfy them. Even though the verses themselves were a direct glorification of bhakti, somehow he chose two bhakti verses. He sent to the group, therefore the conclusion is you should do good karmas and satisfy your family like that. That was his conclusion. So Advaita Charan mailed back, but the verses themselves say like this, and you're giving complete opposite. So by good fortune you can understand, because as I often joke, the modes of nature are like expert martial art warriors who are blocking all the sound vibrations, you know? The sound is coming towards us, meant to enter into the chamber of our ears, into our heart, and the modes of nature are like, making sure that nothing gets in there, you know, blocking all the good sound vibrations. Srila Prabhupada even himself, in one lecture, Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, the lecture is also entitled this. It's called Blockheads. So I thought it was an interesting title for a lecture. So I listened to this lecture, and Prabhupada was saying how everyone in Kali Yuga is blockhead. And so then I meditated on that, you know, and my conclusion, you've heard me say this before, a blockhead means one who blocks out anything useful for Krishna consciousness. So most people are blockheads, and Kali Yuga means blockhead, full of blockheads. How we can come to understand? By good fortune, Bhagyavan Jiva. And what is that good fortune? Guru Krishna Prasad Pai, Bhakti Dr. Bija. If you get a chance to associate with devotees, they make you to understand. They have empowerment to make a person understand transcendental principles. Even though they themselves are, even though one may be situated in lower modes of nature. Example, Mrigarya, Hunter, Narada Muni. I told this example yesterday as well. If blind men are touching an elephant, so they all come to their own conclusions, which are all wrong. Then they come together to put their conclusion together, and it becomes even more bewildering. But there is one man who can see what an elephant actually is, but if he has to convey that to the blind man, then how he will do? Very difficult, huge challenge, because they are blind. He can see what an elephant actually is. He wants to convey that to these blind men who are already bewildered by the fact that they're blind and they have their own misconception about it. Then how he will do? He has to be greatly empowered to do. That's the point. So one can understand these transcendental messages by the good fortune of the association of Krishna's devotees. Then by that day, at least in the beginning, by that association, faith is instilled. Shushusho shradhanasya vasudeva kataruchi. Shradhanasya, the faith is instilled. And then that faith will allow access to higher levels of vision. Shraddha is the most important thing. Shraddha gives vision of these higher truths before you see them directly. No Shraddha, no comprehension of anything, understand? So Shraddha means faith. So this faith allows for perception of these truths before you actually directly see them face to face. So that's what we get in association of Bhagavan's devotees. Otherwise, yes, really, no hope. No hope, hopeless. Helpless? Hopeless. Hopeless and hopeless. That is our condition in the material world. But by Bhagavan's devotees, there is hope is given. That is the speciality of Bhagavan's devotees. You want to ask something?
That Krishna explains persons who understand the modes of nature and the soul, then they can transcend the path of birth and death. Others who do yoga, mystic yoga, and perceive the Paramatma, they can transcend the path of birth and death. And then others
who hear,
although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme upon hearing about Him from others because of their tendency to hear from authorities. They also transcend the path of birth and death.
The devotees have to create that tendency to hear. Prabhupada in one lecture on 1st Canto, chapter 2, verse 16, Vasudeva Kataruchi verse, he speaks about people not having taste for hearing. He said, but it's not only their fault. He said, it's also the fault of the preachers that they're not able to instill faith and hearing in them, this ruchi in them. He makes that point. So this is the mercy of Bhagavan's devotees. They give some inclination to hear, faith and hearing, chanting Krishna's glories. Understand? Any other questions, comments, concerns? So, the real religious principle is as transcendental as Krishna. So even those who are situated in the mode of goodness, they cannot understand. What does speak of you, Yamadutas, who are in the mode of ignorance? What will you understand? You will not understand anything. Who is understanding these religious principles? That's the next verse. So we'll go to the next verse.
Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Praladho Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyayasakir Vayam Dvadashaite Vijanimo Dharmam Bhagavatam Bhata Guhyam Vishudham Durbodham Nyam Gnaktva Mritam Ashnute.
Translation, Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhuva Manu, Prahlada Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, and I, 12 personalities mentioned, and I myself know the real religious principle. We are knowing it. My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavat Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord and love for Him, is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. Understand, Vishuddham. It is very confidential, Guhyam, and difficult for ordinary human beings to understand, Durbodham. See, in the second verse, those three adjectives are given. But if by chance one fortunately understands it, by chance means by hearing from the devotee. By chance you hear. Like in class now, everyone is sitting, but by chance you hear, isn't it? You're sitting in the class, but by chance you hear something, isn't it? So if by chance one fortunately understands it, he is immediately liberated. And thus he returns home back to Godhead. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna refers to Bhagavad Dharma as the most confidential religious principle. Sarva guhyatamam guhyataram. Krishna says to Arjuna, quote, because you are my very dear friend, I am explaining to you the most confidential religion, end quote. Sarva dharman prityagya mamekam sharanam vraja. Quote, give up all other duties and surrender unto me, end quote. One may ask, quote, if this principle is very rarely understood, what is the use of it, end quote. That is how, because we have demoniac consciousness, we think like this. In answer, Yamaraj states herein that this religious principle is understandable if one follows the parampara system of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, and the other standard authorities. There are four lines of the Supa succession, one from Lord Brahma, one from Lord Shiva, one from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and one from the Kumaras. The disciple succession from Lord Brahma is called the Brahma Sampradaya. The succession from Lord Shiva, Shambhu, is called the Rudra Sampradaya. The one from the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is called the Sri Sampradaya. And the one from the Kumaras is called the Kumara Sampradaya. One must take shelter of one of these four Sampradayas in order to understand the most confidential religious system. In the Padma Purana, it is said, Sampradaya Vihinaye Mantrashte Nishpala Mata. If one does not follow the four recognized Sipa successions, his mantra or initiation is useless. In the present day, there are many Upasampradayas, or Sampradayas which are not bona fide, which have no link to authorities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, or Lakshmi. People are misguided by such Sampradayas. The Shastras say that being initiated in such a Sampradaya is a useless waste of time, for it will never enable one to understand the real religious principles. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So what is being said here, as before, so the religious principle, bhakti, surrender to Bhagavan, is first of all, it's called Bhagavad Dharma. Understand? It's called Bhagavad Dharma. Our transcendental religious principle, which means devotional love to the personality of Godhead, complete surrender to the personality of Godhead, that is called Bhagavad Dharma. Real religious principles called Bhagavad Dharma. And who is understanding that Bhagavad Dharma? So these 12 personalities are mentioned. Mahajans, they're called Mahajans. The 12 Mahajans, they understand these religious principles. How is it that they understand these religious principles and not others who are also so qualified? What is the answer? Michael, what is the answer? Why do they understand these religious principles? These 12 personalities are mentioned. Brahma, Narada Muni, Shiva, Kumaras, Prahlad, 12 mentioned here. Why they are understanding? Yes, they're transcendental to the three modes. How are they transcendental to the three modes? They have bhakti, understand? Mam cha yo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate saguna samatita itam brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Those who have unflinching bhakti to Krishna, they transcend the modes, brahmabhuyaya kalpate, and they can understand Brahman, Krishna, and bhakti. So these 12 personalities who are filled with devotion, including Yamaraj himself, we know this religious principle, the real religious principle, which is called Bhagavad Dharma. Then three adjectives are given here to describe the Bhagavad Dharma. Guhyam, Vishuddham, Durbodham. Three adjectives are given. Guhyam means it's confidential. Confidential means, according to Vishnuacharya Thakur, confidential means that although it's discussed in the shastras that deal with the gunas, it's hard to find it there. Guhyam. You're looking, reading, like Mahabharata, like for which Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, excuse me, was despondent. He had laced the whole of the Vedic literatures with transcendental principles, but it was filled up with all sorts of other stuff dealing with material sense gratification also. So, like I mentioned before, when you're under the modes of nature, that's the point that will stick out to you. Those points that resonate with the particular mode you're under, whose influence you're under. Like I remember one time, we were here in class, one time, Krishnasamy Mahaprabhu was here, he was giving class. And the whole purport was about surrender to the spiritual master. It's that there was one line in the purport that talked about the importance of Ayurveda, you know, and how to do Ayurveda to maintain health. One line, it was one sentence Prabhupada had put in the purport. Then it came time for questions and answers. So first person asked a question about Ayurveda. And then, okay, sir, he gave an answer, entertained that. Then Amaji, she had a question. It was also about Ayurveda. And so he entertained that too. And then another person, third person asked, it was also about Ayurveda. And so then started chastise us. He chastised us. Whole purport was about surrender to the guru. None of us had questions about that. We only had questions about Ayurveda. So that's what happens in these other Vedic literatures. Transcendental principles are also laced in there. But because we're heavily under the modes of nature, heavily intoxicated by the modes of nature, only those things are sticking out to us. But the transcendental principles aren't sticking out. So therefore, such transcendental principles are called guhya. Very hard to find out, very advanced sorts of knowledge. You cannot find it out in the shastra so easily. Then it's called as vishuddham. Vishuddham means it is transcendental to the modes of nature. We've already described that. And it's also, third adjective uses durbodham. Durbodham means difficult to understand. Even after you hear it, dull. Everyone is dull-headed. You remember the meaning of dull? Dull means slow. Prabhupada was, it's coming up actually. Dull, this word dull is coming up used. It means even after you hear it, when you try to process it, it's very hard to understand so many things. You look, all of us, it's true, we don't have a hard time. Durbodham, difficult to understand. And then the reason is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, why it's difficult to understand. He says it's difficult to understand for persons who have the tendency to interpret the meanings. In other words, the self-evident meaning is usually very clear. There is no confusion whatsoever. But because of the tendency to interpret, oh, this cannot be the meaning. It must be some deeper meaning is there, deeper insight. For example, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Pratyagya, Mame Kamsura Namaja, has also been quoted. The most confidential secret is to just surrender unto me. Nah, can't be that easy. What is the real deep message that you're trying to, is the unmanifest within me? Oh, okay, that makes sense. Right, the simple, straightforward meaning, the self-evident meaning, they do not accept. They accept some interpretation that will, usually an interpretation which makes it possible for them not to surrender. Because the simple, straightforward meaning is usually too difficult for the ego. Therefore, if you people, I often joke like this, if people had the option between yoga mark, where you have to go into the forest, you should bathe up to the neck in cold water in the winter season, you should surround yourself by fire with the sun blazing on you in the summer season. If that's one option, and the other option is surrender to Guru and Krishna. That's yoga mark. I'll take yoga mark, thank you. I'd rather bathe up into the neck in cold water than to have to surrender to Guru and Krishna, isn't it? Between that, between yoga mark and hearing from someone else, which one is more attractive to the mind? Which one is more attractive to the mind? You have two options. Bathe in the water up to the neck, in cold water up to the neck in the winter season. That you're not even doing now. Cold showers. Who here takes cold shower winter season? Anyone takes cold shower winter season? Oh, you say? No, you're not taking also. So even that, even little cold water, we're not willing to do also winter season. So bathe up to the neck in cold water in the winter season, or hear from someone humbly. Then two options are there. Which one you will choose?
Difficult. Can you get back to me? Get back to me later. This is mentality of the conditioned soul. He does not want to surrender. So he, instead of taking a straightforward meaning, he takes some interpretation. Therefore, it's difficult for him to understand. What is the difficulty in understanding? The difficulty lies in the difficulty in accepting an authority. That someone can actually be an authority by which, who can simply reveal that understanding to us. That is the difficulty. Therefore, Prabhupada's purport is about what? About taking shelter of one of the bona fide sampradayas. That's what the whole purport is about. It's bona fide sampradayas which are filled up with Mahajans, authorities who know the transcendental truth. What is the difficulty in understanding the truth? They can just tell it to you. No, it can't be that easy. I must know for myself. I have to figure it out on my own. So because of a reluctance to surrender to authority, and this reluctance has been magnified in the modern age. In the modern age, no one can be an authority, especially after you take philosophy classes and so on. Once you start taking those types of classes, they hear so many contradictory opinions about everything that they come to the conclusion that there is no truth. Many students you'll meet like this on campus. They say, I don't believe there is no truth. Then you ask them, is that true? That is a simple defeat, simple defeat. They say there is no truth. You ask them, is that true? So there is some truth, but this is the confusion that is caused by hearing so many opinions. And everyone's opinion is as good as everyone else's opinion. It's been magnified in the age of Kali. No one can be an authority anymore. And whatever knowledge seems to be true is only tentatively true until some other mental speculator comes along and presents something superior. In this way, the difficulty, Durbodhan, the difficulty in understanding, is not because the topic itself is so challenging, but because of the difficulty in accepting authority. It's very difficult. Our mind says, why we should accept him and not this one? That's another confusion that comes up. There are so many people that seem good. Prabhupada's talking about the Ampar Sampradayas, these not bona fide authorities. But how do we know who is bona fide authority, who is not bona fide authority? So then the mind will create bewilderment. How do you know this one and not that one? He is saying this, but he is saying that. How do you know which one is true? This is our position. Therefore, Durbhodam, very difficult to understand. Therefore, how do you understand? What's the answer? By good fortune. Good fortune you get out. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hi upadruta. So people, what is the first line of verse? Something Ayusha, I can't think. Ayusha, anyway, the point is here, Vishnachavari gives a nice commentary here, a nice point. He said, people in the age of Kali, they are short-lived, generally. But even if they live long, they are lazy. Understand? Even if they live long, manda, they are lazy. Lazy means lazy for the right things. It was, for sin's gratification, very enthused. If you say, come for the bar for drinking, everyone is ready to line up. But you say, come for the Bhagavatam class. Oh, Prabhu, so many things going on. You know, I can't make it today. So lazy means lazy for the right thing in Kali Yuga. So they're generally short-lived, but if they live long, they are lazy. And even if they are not lazy, they are mandabhagya. They are unfortunate. Why they are unfortunate? Because they don't get the association of devotees. And even if they get the association of devotees, upadruta. They are always disturbed by their attachments to matter. Therefore, they're not able to take advantage of Vaishnava Sangha. This is the situation. Vishnachavara gives us this situation. They're lazy, they're short-lived, but even if they live long, they're lazy. Even if they're not lazy, they are unfortunate because they're misguided. And even if they get proper guidance, they are always disturbed in the mind. So therefore, when Guru comes, every time questions come up, okay, are there any questions? What are the questions about? Usually it's not tattva jignasa. It's not about transcendental principles. It's about, oh, my so-and-so said this to me. This happened to me in the workplace. I'm feeling very like this. I'm feeling that. No question. Do you have any questions about nam tattva? No. You have any questions about bhakti tattva? No. You have any questions about the position of Bhagavan? Oh, no questions at all. What are your questions about? Oh, my friend, he said this to me, and I'm not liking him these days. What to do? These are all the questions they're asking. So even if they get proper sangha, their minds are disturbed by this thing. So then they can't take advantage of the opportunity. Just like Krishna says in the Gita, Mam tu veda na kashchana, hardly anyone knows me. Why? Itra samutena, dwanda mohena bharata. Because their minds are disturbed by the impressions of desire and hate from previous lives. Therefore, they're just absorbed in this dwanda moha, this duality. Sarvabhutani sammoham, completely bewildered by this. They're taking birth again and again and again and again and again. Understand? Very hard to accept authority because of these reasons. Manda sumanda matyo, manda bhakyo upajruta. So therefore, these 12 Mahajans, they know only by their mercy we can come to know. Otherwise, it is confidential, transcendental, difficult to understand. But if you understand it, it says here, Gena Amrita Mashnute. If you come to understand it, then you can take, he enjoys, Ashnute, immortality, Amritam. If you come to understand it, that means if you come to hear from authority, then you come to relish this eternal life. But the obstacles are not easy to overcome. Three obstacles mentioned. What are three obstacles? Three obstacles. These three obstacles. But these three obstacles can be easily overcome if... Yeah, mameva ye prapatyante mayami tamtaranti. Easily overcome by surrender to Guru Krishna. Not difficult. If you can do that one thing, which is no small task, by the way, but if you can do it, then you can enjoy the nectar of eternal life. Otherwise, you're not. You suffer. Yes.
Maharaj talks about how
people... Maharaj.
Gaurabinda Maharaj talks about how, like, people are not hearing because, you know, they're not simple. They lack simplicity. So I was just wondering, how can I develop simplicity? What are the things that you've, like, the things you were talking about, it applies to the karmis because they're completely bewildered by illusion. The aspiring devotees were a little bit less bewildered, but we're still bewildered. So can you speak something more specific to our situation? I was also speaking for myself.
This is our situation. I was only speaking about devotees when it comes to questions and answers. I wasn't speaking about the karmis. The devotees only asking this question. You say, my dear Prabhuji, do you have any questions about Nam Tattva? No, I have no questions about Nam Tattva. Do you have any questions about Bhakti Tattva? Oh no, I have no questions about that either. Do you have any questions about Bhagavatam? Oh, I have no time for reading Bhagavatam. Do you have any questions about Bhagavad Gita? I have no time for reading Bhagavad Gita also. Do you have any questions about anything transcendental? No. What is your question? Oh, so-and-so said this to me. My mind is disturbed. I'm not able to chant my rounds because of this. That's the only question coming. I wasn't speaking about non-devotees. Non-devotees have no questions because they're doing sense gratification. They're not even coming. This is another reason why it's confidential. No one comes. Patrick was reminding us of this yesterday. No one comes. Sarah said this to us one time, that Raja Vidya, Raja Guru, you know, why is it confidential? He says, because we're openly conducting class, but only six people are showing up. So it remains confidential. This is a good point. Another reason. So I was only speaking about devotees. This is our situation. Why are we saying it's the other situation? This is our situation, and we are bewildered. What other part? Even the other part applies to us only also. What other part of the discussion? This only applies to us. Both. That is only us only. Well, okay, so we might not be misguided, but upadruta, that was the point. Even if you're not misguided, upadruta, you're disturbed by these things. Dwanda mohena bharata, idradesha samutana. This is the things going on in our mind. No questions about shastras. No time for reading shastra also. So then they would do some devotional service, seva, thinking about the faults, because their mind is disturbed. So they're conducting seva, thinking about everyone else's faults. That is our lot, our situation. I'm only speaking about devotees only, practicing devotees, not the non-devotees. Non-devotees are doing sense gratification. They don't have time to think about all these things. But it's obvious. Sex life is going on. Any questions, comments about this? I could go on, but I was thinking, because the next, it's not really a section, it's kind of part of the, anyway, I'll probably stop here today. The next section is up to text 26, where he will finally discuss what is the transcendental principles. 26, so maybe today I'll stop, just because I don't want to break it up, yeah. Otherwise, if I have to cover the next section, I would finish the whole thing. I will be here till 9 o'clock. So I know you'll be crying. So today I will.
So here, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. We're hearing that the religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is the qualification of an acharya that permits him to apparently modify or introduce, never modify, let's say, but introduce, you know, a standard for his followers?
The main thing is he has to have bhakti, pure devotion to Krishna. This is the main qualification, bhakti, Bhagavan, bhakta. He should have bhakti. What is the qualification? He can introduce something. And that's also, so according to his devotion to Krishna, to the previous acharyas, then we take it for granted that he has integrity, that he's not going to change the essence of whatever he has received from Guru and God. But then the atmosphere is changing, the modes of nature are always changing that, the landscape of the material world. And so according to time, place, and circumstance, such a devotee may deem it necessary to adjust certain details in order for people to drink the essence. Because the main thing is to drink the essence of devotion to Krishna, chant the holy names of Krishna, worship Krishna in pure surrender. But there are many obstacles that are presented in each age with the changing landscape by the most mature nature. So therefore, this is another reason why we have to hear from acharyas. This is the same reason actually why we have to hear from acharyas. Because these literatures are composed thousands of years ago, not composed, assembled thousands of years ago when the landscape was much different also. And therefore, when trying to understand its application in modern day, we oftentimes get confused because the environment was a little bit different thousands of years ago than it is now. And therefore, we have to hear from the acharyas who have understood the essence and understood how it could be applied in the new landscape that the modes of nature has created for us. So similarly, with that understanding, they may also adjust certain details in order for people to begin to drink the essence. Now, obviously, there's a certain standard that is reached for. The acharyas will inculcate into us the highest ideal. That's another thing. To be an acharya, you have to be able to inculcate the highest ideal. Simultaneously, one has to understand that the highest ideal is not going to be instantly achieved by most, if by any at all. It won't be achieved immediately. So therefore, you give a program by which they can progressively move towards that highest ideal. And giving that program by which they can move towards the highest ideal, there will be adjustment constantly going on for that because the landscape is changing. And what happens is when persons become attached to a particular way something has been handed down, they become attached to the packaging and miss out on the essence point, then this fighting begins because the package is looking different. They cannot understand the difference between form and substance, this reality. There's a confusion about form and substance. Form is not to be rejected, but when form is detracting from substance, then substance has to be accepted, the form discarded. That has to be. So like I give cases, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vitrasura. Vitrasura's form was not very devotional, looking for him. He was killing mixed devotees also. Like I said, Vitrasura opens up the Silena's root and starts grabbing all of us and biting us. That would be heavy. Many of us would think, well, he's demon, which is a fact. He did have demon body also. But in substance, he was a great Vaishnava, very powerful, exalted Vaishnava. So when you see a contradiction between form and substance, the substance has to be accepted and the form discarded, like in the case of Vitrasura. So sometimes, at least this is my observation, that it becomes somewhat confusing sometimes what is form and what is actually substance. And therefore, a person sometimes exhibit a reluctance to depart from the form also because the form will be taken as itself a deviation from whatever was given to them because it was given to them in that particular way. Therefore, if it is not handed down exactly in that particular way, then it's necessarily inherently a deviation. Which I think could just be a confusion on the form and substance point. And just for an example, and this will be a little controversial, but just to clarify my point, it's always good to state a dramatic example for clarification of point. So this is a very dramatic example that I'm about to give. Chanting 16 rounds is not a fixed regulative principle that's mentioned anywhere in the shastras for the development of any sadhaka. Usually the relationship is between guru and the disciple, and how and he makes a vow to his guru that he can keep up some vows, 16 rounds. So in Gaudiya Math, it was 64 rounds. That was the standard. And Prabhupada said that in NOI, because we're not chanting 64 rounds, we will be considered fallen by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, every single one of us. But if we're dedicated to Lord Chaitanya's movement without duplicity, certainly Lord Chaitanya will give us the mercy. So Prabhupada was playing the role of an acharya. In fact, he told 64 rounds in the beginning. And what did he say? You know, immediately they just started freaking out. And then Prabhupada said, okay. 32 rounds. And immediately they freaked out again. And then probably 16 rounds, but no less. So then again, a guru in guiding his disciple may make another adjustment for the particular disciple in certain cases. And it need not be deemed as necessarily a deviation. Of course, we are living in an institutional context. So when you live in an institutional context, you have to set up certain standards. Otherwise, the community falls apart. Everyone just starts doing whatever they want to do, and everyone has their own opinions about everything, and it creates massive confusion. But so you need some sort of just standards in place if you want to try to keep an institution together, a worldwide community of devotees together. You need to set in certain standards. But a devotee could, in a relationship with his guru-disciple relationship, make an adjustment for his disciple. And that doesn't mean that his integrity and service move towards Prabhupada is compromised because of that. Suppose he tells his disciple, I want you to chant 64 rounds. That is good enough for you. Or in certain other cases, I'll give another example. Devotees who have joined and they've fallen away from Krishna consciousness and they want to come back again. So then they go back to the guru. I'm sorry, for 8 years I've been in sense gratification. I couldn't do anything anymore. And so the guru says, I only want you to chant. Just start chanting 4 rounds. And you make, so that he makes some adjustment for the progressive movement of that particular disciple. Such is required all the time. There would need to be adjustment like that. And the main thing that is mentioned in the shastras is shraddha. That's the main thing that is mentioned, shraddha. And then as your shraddha becomes more well-informed by the knowledge of the Bhagavat, then you make progress. But it doesn't mention exactly how many rounds you should be chanting exactly. That will determine your progress. It's only thing that's mentioned for determining beginning the process and progressing in shraddha, that's the only thing that's actually mentioned in the shastras for progress. So then a guru may deem it necessary to make certain adjustments to details with a particular individual to facilitate their particular progress. So he may say, for this one, you only chant this many rounds. For that one. Now, like I said, I'm trying to make a balance. Balance is that we live in an institution, a worldwide community of devotees, so we have certain standards that we should meet in order to keep the community wholesome. But that is not exactly a set-in-stone principle. And I'm sure in the future of Kali Yuga, there will be many adjustments that will have to be made. And they will be made by bona fide devotees. As devotees who are attached to form become more and more irrelevant on account of such intense attachment to form, the way things should look, as they become progressively more and more irrelevant on account of that attachment, then Krishna will have to send some new personality to reinvest potency into the Krishna consciousness movement. And this is happening since time immemorial. What is that verse from Bhagavad Gita 4:2? Before that, yes. Imam Rajasri Vidu. Sakaladeha Marita. So due to the great passing of time, this is always taking place. First, when the Absolute first appears on the horizon in the form of an Acharya or Krishna, the Absolute Truth is very bright. Sakaladeha Marita. What happens after the passing of time? That brightness is decreased. And then again, Krishna comes, or an Acharya comes, again invests new capital into the Krishna consciousness movement. And again, it appears bright. Then with the passing of time, and this is happening since time immemorial. Krishna speaks about it right there in Bhagavad Gita. Sakalaneha Madhata, that's the principle. So that means there will always be new Acharyas coming to reinvest new capital into the Krishna consciousness movement, eternally. And so this may happen where a particular, we may be attached to form, and therefore become totally irrelevant, which happens a lot. Or, conversely, We may be thinking, I have such qualification, and you start changing everything, and then become an upa sampradaya. That happens also, two things. Either you attach to form, and therefore you become more and more irrelevant on account of that attachment. You don't want to make any adjustment to any of the details. So then you'll become irrelevant. That's a fact. That is the lot of such a person. Or the other side, you start changing everything all willy-nilly, we used to say like this. Then you become an Ampar Sampradaya. At that time, again, Krishna will have to send an Acharya or himself come to reinvest new capital into the movement. And this is going to be taking place forever. This is it's an eternal reality.
So, thank you for that discussion. We understood that form is a secondary consideration. Substance is the primary consideration. But given this verse, it's a very confidential thing and it's very difficult to understand. So what is the primary responsibility of an aspiring disciple in any sampradaya? That's my next question. What's the primary responsibility?
To make advancement. Obviously, the primary responsibility of the disciple is to advance himself, by which he can capture all these truths. As we've mentioned, these truths are transcendental. So ultimately, in order to capture it, you have to transcend, isn't it? Otherwise, how do you understand them? Primary duty is to follow, so we can say, we can put it in other terms, follow the orders of the spiritual master. We'll say like that. That's the language that we... But it's not just following the orders of the spiritual master like a robot. I rose early, I chanted my rounds, I read 1 hour of Bhagavatam today, I took prasadam, I went out for preaching and Harinam. Not like that type of following. Srila Prabhupada comments in the fourth canto in the Dhruva Maharaj pastime, the spiritual master is pleased by the ascendancy of the disciple. He is pleased by the ascendancy. In other words, when the disciple is making advancement, not just following like a robot, but actually gleaning the essence by himself, improving himself through the instructions of the spiritual master. So we hear with faith, and that's what allows us entry into the process. But then you need your own experience to confirm it, finally. So that means the primary responsibility of any disciple is, Prabhupada put this language also, to save yourself. You have to advance yourself, by which you've really captured what the guru has given. Just like one time, Vishnu John Maharaj was there. He was talking to Srila Prabhupada. And he says, Prabhupada, why have you shown so much special mercy to me? And Prabhupada said, I've given you the same thing that I've given everyone else. You've just taken advantage of it. Prabhupada told like this to Vishnu John Maharaj. It's recorded in Rabba Damodar Vilas. He said, I've given the same thing that I've given to everyone. You've simply taken advantage of it. So that means that spiritual master is giving to everyone, but who is getting it? Who is taking it? Who's taking it and improving themselves, transcending? It's only a few of us. So that will be our primary duty and service to the guru, to make spiritual advancement. Under proper guidance, under you know, all those other things that come along with that, but making spiritual advancement. That's the way I would express it. I'm sure there are many other angles it could be expressed, but that's my way of expressing it. Anything else? Any other points, add-ons, clarifications?
I was thinking on this point, on hearing that you're making earlier, it's very tough to hear because the reason you were giving was interpretation. Mm-hmm. So we're coming to the reason... Well, when we're coming to Krishna consciousness, we have so many like ideas, like what does surrender mean, for example, the example that you gave. So how do we come to the point where we're actually able to like dismiss our preconceived ideas and accept what Guru is saying? How do we come to that point?
Yeah, you have to develop faith in Guru, then you'll do it. The reason we reject what Guru is telling us is because we have faith in these fellows. No, I heard this, I heard that. So every time Guru says something, mind will remind you of those authorities previously to meeting the guru. Then, when your faith in guru is developed, then it will reverse. Then, whatever those people are saying, they say, "What nonsense they're speaking," and you think the guru is saying is true. In other words, like with anything, I don't think this is exactly unique to devotional service, but by an increase of faith in anything, the more your faith increases, the more the tendency of the mind is to become exclusive. Once your faith increases in a particular something, whatever it may be, the tendency of the mind, the psychologist, to become more and more exclusive. What an increase in faith, whatever it may be. It could be faith in science. It could be faith in conspiracy theories, which are very popular today. It could be faith in whatever, devotional service. Whatever you have faith in, the more that faith increases in that something, the more your psychology becomes more kind of exclusive and somewhat myopic, which need not be a bad thing. Of course, that word is usually used in a negative context. It becomes more centered on that one thing because of an increase in faith. So as our faith increases in Guru, by hearing from Guru, serving Guru, inquiring from Guru, removing doubts, then our psychology becomes more fixed on that. Then others are saying other things. We will either harmonize it with what the teachings have been given by Guru, or we will say this is nonsense and they're speculating. Like that. That will happen kind of, that happens naturally with practically anything. My observation is like that. Does that answer your question? Do you have a follow-up? Ratak wants to say something.
Hare Krishna. What happens when the guru that leads the disciple, what happens to the disciple when the guru is fallen, like he's given the disciple instruction and then later, and you're following him obediently and doing everything that the, you know, by the guru's order, and then later on the guru, you know, is, you know, becomes fall, he commits an offense and he falls.
There is no loss, because the guru's instructions are instructions coming from Supreme Lord. Otherwise, he is not a guru. Whatever guru says, God must be saying also. Therefore, whatever guru speaks, he has to speak according to the authority of Shastra. So what is guru should be teaching then? Especially for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas, guru is teaching chant the holy name of Krishna. Render service to Vaishnavas. Isn't it study here? Render service to the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatas. So what is the loss? Even if such a guru, let's say a guru is not bona fide, he falls down. What have you lost, actually? Of course, that the impact psychologically of such a loss will be great. But then you have to understand that that is Krishna also coming to you in that situation in order to test your determination for Krishna consciousness. It is just like one time, this is slightly out of context, but one Mataji wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that she was going to leave the Krishna conscious movement because all her godbrothers were nonsense. So Prabhupada said, you are also a nonsense because you're about to lose your opportunity because of their nonsense. Understand? You're about to lose your chance for Krishna consciousness because they are nonsense, so you are also a nonsense. You know, and that was probably, I don't know if she stayed. that would have been a good follow-up sort of thing. But anyway, Prabhupada highlighted the defect in her thinking. So even if such a guru, let's say, shall fall down like that, what is ultimately the loss if you want Krishna consciousness? The instructions of guru are the instructions of the Supreme Lord himself. He is not saying anything different. So your opportunity for Krishna consciousness is still fully, abundantly available. Vaishnavas are still there that you can actually take shelter of and inquire from and become more and more enlightened by hearing from them. The opportunity to chant the holy name is still available. To hear the Bhagavatam, to render service to the Bhagavatam. What is the loss? Only way it can be a loss is if we are not serious about the absolute truth. So you see like this, sometimes gurus leave, and everyone leaves also. They fall away from Krishna consciousness. That means they were not genuine. Simple. Not that it say that there wasn't a fault on the part of that guru, but the reality is that there is some ingenuineness there. At least 50%. Prabhupada said if someone leaves Krishna consciousness, we should think it is 50% our fault, 50% their fault. And one time someone asked Jayadwaita Maharaj this question, why do people leave ISKCON? And Jayadwaita Maharaj said two reasons. Our anarthas, their anarthas. that was a very enlightened answer. And then he said, next question. That was it, next question. Why do people leave ISKCON? Our anarthas, their anarthas. So at least 50-50. So their guru is left, they're also leaving. That is due to their own insincerity also. It is not just due to the insincerity of their guru. And that also means there's a little bit lack of understanding of guru tattva. The guru is ultimately meant to elevate us to Krishna consciousness. He's meant to establish our connection with Krishna. So if somehow or other, by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, we should lose one connection, then another connection can be brought up. in order to facilitate our further movement. There is no loss or diminution in this path of devotional service.
So we should get another replacement guru if that
I don't think you should think of it in terms of replacement guru like that. But we should understand that there is no loss. If one connection is lost, another connection can be caught up. Just like with internet, sometimes you're trying to get into one Wi-Fi account. That Wi-Fi account is not working. Somehow a connection has been lost. So another connection, you catch up. So similarly, if you are intent upon the absolute truth, you lose one connection, another connection can be caught up. There is no loss. But that is if you are intent upon the absolute truth. Therefore, Prabhupada said, ultimately, you have to fly your own plane. Sometimes we're thinking, my guru alone will take me back. But you have to go back home, back to Godhead. Guru will facilitate connection, undoubtedly. But it is you who have to make that decision, finally. Do you want God or not? Do you want Krishna, that relationship, or not? If you want that relationship, if it is lost, one connection is lost, you will connect to catch up another connection. It is like this. There is absolutely no loss in Krishna consciousness for those who are intent upon that relationship with the Absolute. Then nothing will stop them. Nothing will stop, however challenging the environment will get. And it will get challenging and bewildering, but nothing will stop if they want that relationship.
Thank you.
Finally, any other thoughts, questions? Did you understand my discussion today? Was it clear? Clear? Understanding? Go like this. Thank you. Okay. Thank you all very much. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.